blood of Jesus that was shed there on Calvary. And we thank you, Father, that it was that blood that shed, that because of that blood was shed, that we can have eternal life, that we can be free. We are free. We thank you, Father, for each and every person today that's here in this auditorium or watching us online. We thank you, Father, that you have a plan and a purpose for their life, and we thank you that they'll fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you right now that whatever they're going through, whatever situations they're going through right now, we thank you for touching them right now. We thank you, Father, that COVID-19 cannot exist in our land anymore. We thank you, Father, for the healing power of God flowing all over the world, ministering to those that are sick. We thank you, Father, for touching this land right now in the name of Jesus. We come against this racism and all the things that are going on right now. We thank you, Father, for peace, for peace, for peace, peace in the cities, peace in the streets. And we thank you, Father, we come against all the power of the enemy that is trying to destroy everything right now. And we thank you for everything you're doing. But Father God, we thank you right now as we go to minister your word. We thank you that your word will not return void, but we thank you that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us and help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, that most of all, that we'll take the word that we hear, that this brings forth life on the inside of us, and go out to the highways and the byways and share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost and dying and hurting world. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you, Father, for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. We thank you we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. And we thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. But we thank you most of all for your anointing that's present tonight. Your anointing that saturates us. Your anointing that changes us in an instant. And we stir up that anointing. And we thank you, Father, that anyone that is here or watching us online that needs a touch will get a touch right now. We thank you that anointing of God will touch their heart, will touch their mind, will touch their souls, will touch their bodies. And we thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing with here and around the world. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God is a good God. Amen. You know, when we sing those old blood songs, I mean, they might be old, but they're still good and they're still relevant today. It's all because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles or your device there, I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, and we're going to actually start with verse 12. Today, I'm actually going to read from the New Living Translation. I don't normally read Mark 11 from the New Living Translation. Usually, I want to read it from the King James because that's how I memorized it and things like that. But we're going to go from the New Living Translation. And like I said, we're going to start with verse number 12. And we're going to read things that probably most of you know, but we're going to really look into it, you know, dig down deep. It says this. It says, the next morning, as they, meaning Jesus and his disciples, they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little ways off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, "May no one ever eat your fruit again." And the disciples heard him say it. So let's just think about what was happening here. First of all, notice it says that Jesus was hungry. All right, Jesus was hungry. Now, it was the morning time, and, you know, he was leaving Bethany and on his way to Jerusalem, and he was hungry. Now, has anyone ever been hungry before? We've all been hungry, you know, there are some times, I normally do not eat breakfast in the morning time, but there are some times that I wake up and I'm hungry. And if I do eat breakfast, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll grab a granola bar or I'll grab a Pop-Tart and usually actually carry it and eat it in the car with a glass of milk. I love milk for whatever reason. I guess because, you know, when I was a kid, they used to have that little slogan that milk does your body good. So I wanted my body to do good. So I had a lot of milk. I still like milk, I like chocolate milk as well. You know, I know it's not original, but you know, you add a little extra cocoa and it tastes good as well. But, you know, here's the thing. I don't know how many times I've been hungry and I go to my pantry and there's a box there and I reach in the box and I find out there's no granola bars in my box. Or actually, I threw away a Pop-Tart box yesterday. It was in my pantry. I wasn't looking for a Pop-Tart. I just noticed the box was empty. For whatever reason, in my house, people don't know how to throw the box away. I guess they want me to be disappointed whenever I show up to get into the box and there's nothing there. But I mean, there's nothing like, you know, being hungry and wanting something and there's nothing there. I mean, it's frustrating. It's, you know, I mean, because especially, you know, when I open the pantry door and I look in and see a box, I expect that there, whatever it says that's in that box, I expect it to be in the box. You know, and if there's only one there, that's okay. I only needed one. But what I normally do is whenever I take the last one out of the box, I also take the box out of the pantry and throw it away. So nobody else goes to that pantry, opens up the pantry and sees the box and gets disappointed. See, what happened is Jesus was disappointed. Just like we get disappointed every once in a while. Now, you know, if you read this story, it says he noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little ways off or a little way off. So, because I've always thought about the story that Jesus was walking down the road and all of a sudden, boom, there's a fig tree. Oh, let me have some figs. But, you realize if it was right next to the road, he would have been able to see there was no figs on the tree whenever he saw it. So evidently he had to go out of his way and walk a little ways to get to the tree. And so that makes you even more mad. You know, the fact that you had to go out of your way, you walk over here and you see a tree and there's no figs. Now notice the first part, he was hungry. It's just like me walking to my pantry, seeing a box, you know, that says that there's granola bars and there's no granola bars. Now, unlike, you know, what I get to do is blame my kids. But Jesus, I guess he just got mad. You know, now, I used to remember my grandfather, he would read the story quite a bit. And whenever he gets to the point, you know, reading the King James version, it says a season of figs was not yet. So you're thinking, why is Jesus cursing the fig tree when it's not even fig season? I mean, that makes no sense. I mean, he should know what fig season really is. I mean, you know, it's like there's a lot of people here that I know you're hunters, and you know exactly when hunting season starts. I mean, you know the day it starts. Well, he should know when fig season is. Obviously, he likes figs. Now, I don't really know much about figs. You know, I'm not a figologist. I really didn't study figs. I've seen a fig Newton. I actually tried one time, didn't really like it. So I've, you know, as a kid, I've never had a fig Newton since then. I've never ate a fig. Don't know anything about figs. Don't even know if I would recognize a fig tree if I saw one. But I do have Google. All right. And if you go to Google, you'll find out that if a fig tree has leaves, it also should have figs. All right, so when Jesus saw the fig tree, because obviously he knew a lot more about fig trees than I did, when he saw the fig tree with leaves, he was like, oh, wow, this fig tree is going to have figs, even though the other fig trees don't have figs, this one's going to have figs, and I'm going to get to have some figs for breakfast. Now, when he got there, there were no figs. Now, the reason that Jesus cursed the tree was because it was deceptive. That tree was deceiving people. You know, now Jesus could have just left the tree alone and walked away, but do you realize that maybe somebody else would have walked down the road the next day and got disappointed? Just, you know, just like my kids don't throw away the box. The reason Jesus cursed the fig tree was like, you know, you're deceptive. Well, you know who else is deceptive? The devil. Now, I'm telling you all this is because this has been one fig tree of a year. It really has. It's been a fig tree year. You know, the year started off pretty good. Economy's going well. People, unemployment rate is lowest all time. All these things are going great. Everything's happy and joyful. Then all of a sudden, somebody gets a virus. Then somebody else gets a virus. Then somebody else gets a virus. And then we don't know what to do when we close down. And people lose jobs. And people lose this. And people lose hope. And people are afraid. And it's been the most wackiest year I've ever had in my entire life. But let's think about some things that Jesus did not. You realize that he did not curse any other fig tree that was there? Because there was probably some more fig trees that were by this fig tree. Jesus didn't curse all the fig trees. He only cursed the one that was causing the issue. He also didn't curse his day. He didn't say, you know what? This is a terrible day. You know, this is a crummy day. Because you know what? I don't know how many times people have been cursing their year this year. I read it on Facebook probably every day, talking about their year. Now, obviously, you've heard me preach this a few weeks ago. We talked about the year of the comeback. Every day before the pandemic, during the pandemic, you know, it doesn't matter. I've been talking about how good my year is. You say, well, has it really been good? Well, we call those things that are not as though they are. That's what we're faith people, right? So I don't care what your year's been like. The year's not over. It's not even halfway over. You realize that. It's not even halftime yet. Not even halftime yet. Now, I thank God that I live in a state like Oklahoma and some other states that have been open for quite some time, that we've been able to, go to restaurants and do anything. I mean, almost every day also you look on Facebook and somebody else is saying, this is the first time I've been to a restaurant in forever. We're singing tonight about freedom. Well, we haven't had it a lot around here in the U.S. So, it's been disappointing. But when we get disappointed, what we do is curse the situation that caused the disappointment, and that's why we curse COVID-19 in the name of Jesus. Now, ultimately, it comes down to the devil, because the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's the one that provides disappointment. He's the one that makes us disappointed. But like I said, I'm not going to curse my year. I'm not going to curse my day. Jesus, he didn't curse his day. He was still having the day that he has made. He's going to rejoice if he had glad in it, because it's him. We always say, today's the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it, but he's the Lord. So whatever. I mean, he still had a good day. But quit cursing everything and curse the problem. Curse the situation. But you know what? Once he cursed it, he moved on. He didn't stand there and gripe at it, the tree, forever. He didn't stand there and, call everybody up on the phone, tell everybody about how bad the tree is, and, you wouldn't believe what happened to me today. He just cursed the fig tree and he walked on. In fact, the disciples kind of thought he was joking. They didn't really think he meant it. But like I said, it's been a fig tree of a year. Everything was going great. All of a sudden, disappointments begin to happen. You realize that there's some business owners that are not going to open their store back up because of that. There are some people that have lost their job and not going to get it again. Things have changed. Some doctors want us to change the world and, want everybody to never have normal again. Well, that's stupid, because normal's normal. Normal's not normal. You realize that you've had a normal temperature since the day you were born. Now, there might be a day that you wake up and your temperature is not normal. But, you know, a few days later, it goes back to normal, right? So don't tell me we're never going to have normal again, and we're never going to be able to sit in a stadium next to people, or we can't have a crowded church, or we can't have this, or we can't have that, or we can't. I mean, that's a lie. And they say, well, but according to our research, I don't care about your research. I don't live according to your research. I live according to what my God says. And I don't care if you want to curse your fig tree or not, but mine's cursed. I'm not going to wait for you to curse your fig tree. If you want to have a bad year, have a bad year. I don't care. I mean, I do care because I really don't want you to have a bad year. But that's not up to me. It's up to you. You decide whether you have a bad year or have a good year. You say, yeah, but I lost my job. So? I feel bad for you. You know, but the Bible's always told me my job is my source. It doesn't say, not my job, my source, my God, not my job. My God is my source. According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, that my needs are met. Not according to my job at whatever store I was working at, or this or that or company, or, you know, And I realize that some people, like, they say, well, there's no reason to open back up again. But some people quit too soon. Just because they had a bad couple of weeks, because things, you know, doesn't mean, you know, that you got to quit. I mean, you can keep going. You know, well, I don't see how it's going to work. I don't see how that I can make it. Well, I don't see how a fig tree is going to die because Jesus spoke to it. But it did. It did. Now, I do want to read this. Do you realize, some of you may not realize, you know the next thing Jesus did after he cursed the fig tree? Well, if you can probably read it, because right here the next thing says, Jesus clears the temple. The next thing he did was he went and kicked out the money changers at the temple. Things like that. So, moral of the story, feed Jesus breakfast. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's a coincidence or what, but you know, maybe the disciples need to carry around some Twinkies or something like that. You know, Twinkies are good because they don't ever... They're always good. You know, you can take them to the moon and back and they're still good. You know, so I don't know, but make sure Jesus has breakfast, because it was a bad thing. Because I don't know. Even as a kid, I used to think about these kind of stuff. I mean, not everyone else did because they didn't really care or whatever. But because I'm thinking, well, hasn't Jesus been to that temple before? Didn't he see the money change? You know, you realize that they were there before, and he was there before and didn't ever do anything about it, but the one day he was hungry, he did something about it. So anyway, let's get over to the next day. All right. Verse 20 says, it says this, the next morning, as they, talking to the disciples, they passed by the fig tree he had cursed. The disciples noticed that it had withered from the roots. And Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, look, Rabbi, the fig tree that you cursed has withered and died. Now, you know, I want to point something out, that when Jesus cursed the fig tree, that as far as we can tell from the outside, nothing happened immediately. But the next day, when they showed up, something had happened. I mean, you know, there was an outward difference. No, but I'm here to tell you that when Jesus cursed the fig tree, there became an inward difference. You just couldn't see it on the outside. See, if you know anything about a tree has a root system, and when the roots dry up, then the tree will dry up. As soon as the word was spoken, as soon as Jesus spoke the word, immediately the roots begin to dry up. But it took a day or 24 hours or so before we saw it on the outside. And that's what I want you to tell you is that sometimes that just because we speak to a situation and it doesn't seem that it changes, doesn't mean that things aren't drying up. Now, if you were diagnosed, if you went to the doctor today and you were diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and I mean, maybe you never knew you had cancer before, but you realize that at some point in time, your body had stage 1 cancer. At some time, it had stage 2 cancer. At some times, it had stage 3 cancer, and now it was up to stage 4. Do you realize that was a process? Now, you might not have known about the process, but it was a process. It was stages. So it took time for your body's cancer to build up to stage 4. And so, you know, if it takes time for your body to go from stage 4 back to stage 3, back to stage 2, back to stage 1, back to stage 0, that's okay. That's okay. Because some people, that they're like, well, I want it immediately. I mean, you know, it's like the microwave. Have you ever made microwave popcorn? People sit at that microwave, you know, when they're waiting for all the pops to go off. They're like, man, this is taking 2 minutes. 2 minutes to have popcorn. 2 minutes. It's just like the other day I was looking, you know, during all this pandemic stuff, I'm thinking, well, you know, we used to have the oven meals, you know, not the ones you make in the microwave, you know, the ones you actually threw in the oven. And so I was reading the box that says it takes 30 minutes to cook one of those things. I'm like, I don't want to wait 30 minutes. I'm going to go get the microwave meal and wait 2 minutes. Who wants to wait 30 minutes? I mean, you know, that's the generation that we are. We don't want to wait. You know, but here's what happens is whenever we speak to a situation or, you know, we're praying for a situation and things don't change immediately, then we get mad. Well, I guess nothing's happened in my life. You know, things don't always happen immediately on the outside. Now you say, well, but Craig, it only took a day for this tree to dry up. Okay, maybe it takes longer than a day. Well, what do? We keep the switch of faith turned on. We keep believing, we keep speaking, we don't stop. You know, we don't stop speaking. I mean, I've been speaking to my year all year long. Every day I speak to my year. But you know, I will tell you, during the pandemic, I've been speaking louder to my year. You know, like I said, COVID-19 has no power over my body. Cannot affect me, cannot affect my family. Has no power. Has no authority. I got scripture and verse for it. Anything got scripture and verse for, you know, you're pretty good off. So it has no authority. You know, I claim the 91st Psalm of my life every day, have for as far as I can remember. We were taught the 91st Psalm. You know, that wasn't the first scripture I ever learned, by the way. The first scripture I ever memorized, in case you're ever playing Craig Trivia, first scripture I ever memorized for, you know, for memory verse was John 3:16. That was the first one ever. At least I can remember I remembered, you know, because I actually got a candy or a prize for it in Sunday school class one day. John 3:16. That's a pretty good one too. But, you know, so here they were the next morning. They're walking down the street. They see the fig tree. It's dead. Peter's always the vocal one. He's like, Jesus, hey, that fig tree that you cursed, it died. So what Jesus said, he said, no, duh. I cursed the fig tree yesterday. Don't you remember? Yeah, we thought you were joking. No, that fig tree was deceptive. It was disappointing. It caused me an issue. But like I said, once again, he didn't speak to all the fig trees. He didn't speak to his year. He didn't speak to his month. He didn't speak to his day. He spoke to his situation. So then we get to where Jesus taught us how to speak to our situation. And I normally don't read this from New Living Translation, but I'm going to today. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. Have faith in God. And this, that scripture is the one that I like the best. I live my life by that scripture. Have faith in God. Doesn't matter what's going on around about me. Doesn't matter what situations are. My faith is in God. In God, I trust. And only in God. Now see, when Jesus spoke to that fig tree, when he spoke to that disappointment, he had faith in God that that fig tree was going to dry up. It was going to cease existing any longer. Not because he spoke, because his faith was in God. See, you have to have your faith in God when you speak to your situation. It's not about how good you are, not about, you know, how great you are, how much money you have, you know, what your name is. Your faith has to be in God. I mean, you have to believe. The Bible says, only believe. All things are possible to those that believes. You have to believe. You have to, what do you believe in? You have to believe in God. You have to believe that God is able. Now, you understand that God is not controlled by our laws. Not the law of gravity. There are no laws that God is controlled by. And then when God speaks, things change. And if you want to see how things change, go outside and notice that the sun comes up in the morning. Because God spoke one day in Genesis when he said, let there be light. There was light. Why was there light? Because God said it with his mouth. He believed in his heart. He had what he said. How's your situation going to be changed? By you putting your faith in God, by you speaking to your disappointment, whatever it might be. You know, maybe you've had a lot of disappointments recently. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've, you know, can't afford your rent. You don't know what to do. Well, you know what you can do? Put your faith in God. I always say, if you can't believe your Bible, believe your money. It's on the back of every single dollar. In God, we trust. Our trust is in God, not in our government, not in our president, not in our governors, not in our mayor, not even in our pastors. It's in God. You know, I don't know how many times that people think, well, you know, if I can get the pastor to pray. Well, no, if the pastor can get you to pray. If you've read our most popular book the ministry has ever put out, it's the believer's authority. It's your authority. Notice it didn't say the pastor's authority or the minister's authority. We have a number of books and things about ministers and about pastors, and you know, but it's about the believer, about you speaking to your situation. But you know what? Sometimes it's hard to speak to our situation when we're going through disappointment. But you have to be able to get beyond your disappointment and quit griping about your situation, but speak to it. Decide, you know what? I'm going to change my situation with my mouth, with what I say. We can have what we say. We've been taught that I've been taught it all my life, and you that have been around our ministry, you've been taught that you can have what you say. If you want to say that 2020 is going to be the most crummiest year you've ever had, you're going to have it. Praise God. Don't gripe about it. You know, but if you're going to say that 2020 is going to be the best year you've ever had, you can have that too. But how? I mean, it seems pretty impossible. The things that are possible to man are possible with God. With God, all things are possible. How are they possible? Because my faith is in God, because I believe. How are we going to change this world? We're going to trust God. Anyway, it goes on to say this. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I know most of you have never read that translation. It says, you know what? When you speak to your situation, now he's looking at a mountain because you know what? He's not looking to the fig tree anymore. He's pointing to a mountain because mountains are bigger than fig trees. See, people think, well, you know, I can speak to this, but this is a whole lot bigger. You know, people, for whatever reason, that we put things on scales. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about situations. Here in Oklahoma, we have tornadoes. All right? And our tornadoes start with, you know, well, actually, I guess they start with zero and go up to five. Now, the scale is called the Fujita scale or something like that, so that we call it an F1, an F2, an F3, an F4, and an F5. F5 being the biggest. In fact, I was watching the Weather Channel the other day, and they were going back and, not that I don't really watch the Weather Channel a lot, but you know, except when it's watching the weather, but they were going back and doing a thing about the Moore tornado, the F5, and they were tracking. So I turned it on. I just kept watching it. You know, you kind of bring things back to your remembrance and stuff. And you know, they were talking about the dreaded F5 and how, you know, how wide it was and all that kind of stuff. But I've done tornado you know, work, you know, helping out people. And you know, if I go to someone's house that's been destroyed, I'm like, you don't walk up and say, well, at least it's on F3. They don't care. Their house is destroyed anyway. They don't care if it's an F3 and F5. It was totally messed their house up. But we put things on situations and we think, well, you know what? If you had an F1, it might be okay. But you're in an F5. I don't know what you're going to do. Even the police department, when they were interviewing some guys, said, you know, I'm trying to keep the peace, all knowing that it's headed right toward my house, and it's an F5. I mean, if it's my house, there's no way my house is gonna survive. That's faith. You know, there's no way. Well, there is a way if you know how to believe. You know, people think, well, there's no hope if it's an F5. Well, you know what? An F5 doesn't always have to stay an F5. It can back down to an F4, an F3, an F2, and an F1, and an F0. But we put everything on scales. And we think, well, if it's just a small one, we can take care of that. I'm here to tell you that most of you probably think, well, you know what? If it's a cold, no big deal. But if it's cancer, that's a big deal. But you realize the same way you speak to a cold is the same way you speak to cancer? In the same way you speak to your finances, the same way you speak to your body? It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter how big it is. But I've been in a situation where I've only needed $200, but now I need $10,000. Well, you know what? You speak the same way. Yeah, but the mountain's bigger. The Bible doesn't say that according to your mountain be done unto you. It says according to your faith be it done unto you. And your faith is in God, really not in you. See, the easy part, you have the easy part. The part, all I have to do is say something. God has to figure out how it's going to come down. He didn't tell me to pick up mountains. Not one time. He didn't say, I tell you the truth. If you go pick up this mountain and carry it over to the sea, then it won't bother you anymore. No, right here, he says, to tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But how it will happen? It says, but you must really believe it will happen. Well, yeah, but that's impossible. Praise God that we serve an impossible working God. And the things that seem, I mean, you know, maybe some of your life seem impossible. How am I going to have my best year ever when I've had my worst year ever? Everything's taking a hit. Even my retirement fund's taking a hit. So, it's the year of the comeback. If you want, I guess it was about a week and a half ago I preached a message. You can watch it. Go to our YouTube channel, Rhema USA, and talk about the year of the comeback. And we talked about the Atlanta Falcons and New England Patriot game. And at halftime, it looked like there's no way New England's going to win. But they did. Yeah, but no team's ever come back from that far. Doesn't matter. It was only halftime. When your year's not over, there's plenty of time to come back. Plenty of time to come back. And actually, if you watch that it really wasn't until the third quarter until things started really happening. Anyway, it says you must really believe it's going to happen. Have no doubt in your heart. You know what? When I speak to my mountain, my fig tree, my situation, I expect it to happen. Why? Because God said so. Just like when God said, let there be light, he expected light to turn on. Why? Because he said so. Anyway, we'll go to verse 24. It says, I tell you, you can pray for anything. It says anything. It doesn't say you can pray for some things. It says you can pray for anything, and if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Now, whenever you pray, you believe you receive it when you're praying, not when you get it. That's the key. You know what? When I speak to my mountain, I expect it to move. I don't hope it's going to move. I don't pray it's going to move. I don't go around begging it to move. I just speak to it. I speak to my situation. I speak to my year. I speak to whatever I'm facing. Whatever it is. That's why I will say this. If I have a personal, you know, if I go to the doctor and a doctor says something about a situation, then I always like to ask the doctor, okay, what do I need to change in my body? I mean, what does my body have to change? Because I want to speak to that. I want to speak to that. You know, I want to be specific. When I speak, I want to be specific on how to speak and what to speak for. Now, sometimes, you know, you don't know all the details and you just have to speak generally. But you know what? The more specific you speak, the better it is. But I'm here to tell you, you might have had a fig tree year, but it's time to start talking. You know, I know a lot of people haven't spoke anything. They're just kind of like, just laid back and let it happen. They're like, you know, well, I guess it just happens like that sometimes. No, man, you know, you should be speaking at all times. Command. That's, I mean, I command COVID-19 to cease to exist every day. I don't care if cases go up or down. Doesn't matter. I'm not moved by what I see. You know, I'm not satisfied with almost normal. I'm not satisfied going to a restaurant and only 25% of the people can sit in that restaurant, and I have to wait 30 minutes to sit down. And I'm looking at 10 tables that are wide open. That's not right. It's not normal. And things have to change. But they only change when we open our mouth. We begin to speak. We begin to pray. We begin to say. And we keep saying. We keep saying. We keep believing. And yeah, fig trees are going to pop up. And I'm here to tell you, you're going to have more than one fig tree going to pop up in your life at some point in time. Sometimes you'll feel you're in a fig tree forest, and all you can see is fig trees. Sometimes it seems as soon as you get through one fig tree, boom, another fig tree hits you in the face. But every time I have a disappointment in my life, I always, as soon as I have that, I think about the fig tree. And I know I can do something about it. Because you know what? Jesus faced a disappointment. He spoke to the fig tree. It died. And your disappointment can die too, if you'll open your mouth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each and every person that's here. And Father God, I don't know how their year has been so far, but we thank you, Father, right now, that each and every person that's here, that's watching us online, will be able to speak to their year and command this 2020 to be the best year they've ever had. We thank you, Father, that that all these situations, these circumstances that have been crowding our year this year have to cease to exist. Devil, you have no right, you have no authority in our lives, in our bodies, and in our hearts. And we thank you, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for touching people's lives. And we thank you, Father, right now for giving us the wisdom and knowledge on how to speak and how to pray for our land right now. Physically, financially, emotionally, spiritually, we thank you, Father, for peace during this time. We thank you, Father, for touching each and every one of us. We thank you, Father, that this is a great year. We thank you, Father, for ministering to each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, let's all stand up. Your year's not even halfway over. And yeah, it's been a pretty wild year. You know, when you think it couldn't get any crazier, it's got crazier. You know, but this isn't normal, and it's not going to be normal. We're going to have the best year ever. Man. I keep believing it. You keep believing it. We keep saying it. We keep speaking it. You know, and it's all going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. It'll be okay. It's only a fig tree or two popped up here or there. A little bit of disappointment, but everything's going to be okay.